Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, we're going to get straight into it this morning, and there's a term that has been labeled or put as a label on our country that you might have heard in the news over the last while, and that term is junk status. I don't know if you've heard that phrase being thrown around, junk status. Well, junk status is simply a term that is used to describe a country that has dropped below an acceptable investment grade. In other words, when people stop investing into our country due to either a lack of trust or perhaps a lack of transparency, the economy doesn't grow at the rate that it needs to, and it then risks being downgraded to what they call junk status. What usually happens then is we see an interest rate hike, and most of you would know that when the interest rates go up, most South Africans are poorer as a result of that. But junk status essentially results from a lack of growth in the economy. I think it's fair to say that for the economy to move forward, growth is essential. For our nation to move forward, growth is essential. For those of you who are in business, for your business to move forward, growth in your business is essential. I think it's also fair to say for our personal lives, if we are going to be moving forward, then growth in our personal lives is absolutely essential. For our church to keep moving forward, growth in our church is essential. And I think in any area of life, when there is no commitment to growth and expansion, we run the risk of downgrading our own lives. And we end up living at a level below or lower than what God has intended for our lives. There was an American country singer, a famous singer, her name was Loretta Lynn. And she once said, "I don't know what it's like for a book writer or a doctor or a teacher as they work to get established in their jobs. But for a singer, you've got to continue to grow, or else you're just like last night's cornbread, stale and dry." I wonder perhaps how many of you this morning have areas of your life that have become stale and dry. Maybe for those of you who are married, and if this is your problem, just look straight ahead right now. But maybe your marriage has become stale and dry. There's no more romance, there's no more sex, there's none of the good things that you used to do together as a married couple. It's become stale and dry. Perhaps for those of you in business, it's become stale and dry. There was a time when you were the thing. Everyone wanted your services. The phone was ringing. But nowadays, business has become stale and dry. Perhaps for some of you in your relationship with God, it's become a bit stale and dry. There was a day when you would miss church for nothing, not even for a Rugby World Cup semi-final. There was a day when you were on fire for God. You couldn't wait to wake up in the morning and read the Word and hear from God. But then you just got in the habit of being a Christian, and your relationship with the Lord has become stale and dry. I wonder how many churches in our community and in our city and across the world have become stale and dry simply because they refused to grow. They were happy with where they were. They settled. They stopped growing and expanding and have ended up becoming like last night's cornbread, stale and dry. I'm going to do a message across 2 weeks as we head towards Miracle Offering Weekend that I've simply called The Need for Growth and Expansion. The Need for Growth and Expansion. One of the things we are very passionate about at Rivers Church is growth and expansion. Firstly, because we believe it is a command of God, as we will see in a few moments, but also good to know the devil hates it. The devil hates it when the church advances. The devil hates it when church builds and expands and adds new facilities. Why? Simply because we take territory from him. But that is exactly what God has called us to do as the church. So let me share a few thoughts with you this morning to encourage you on the need for growth and expansion that hopefully you can apply to every area of your life. The first thought is this, is that it is a requirement of God for his people. Growth and expansion is a requirement of God for His people. You may not realize this, but God desires growth for your life. God desires for your life to move forward, for there to be increase. Never forget that everything God touches increases. Everything God puts His stamp of approval on will always get better as a result of that. And, you know, I think as Christians surrendered to God, we must know with absolute certainty and conviction that God desires growth and increase for our lives. I think the problem is that we love comfort. You know, we live in a world that has become so comfortable. Every new invention, if you think about it, is designed to bring a greater level of comfort. And what happens, unfortunately, for so many people, they get saved, they give their hearts to Jesus, and then for the rest of their lives until Jesus comes again, they spend the best of their time trying to become as comfortable as possible. And unfortunately, when we become comfortable, we stop growing, and that is never God's plan for our life. Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3 is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. And it's something that I've applied to my personal life, and it's something that we've absolutely believed for our church across all our campuses. And the word of the Lord says this: enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense. God very clearly speaking there about enlarging, building, spreading out. He says, spare no expense. The Lord is not saying that's license to be wasteful. What He's reminding us of is that whenever we make a commitment to growth, there is always a price that needs to be paid. There is always a cost attached to growth and expansion. And then the promise in verse 3, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Isn't that a great promise of God? That when we follow His command to grow and enlarge, there is always the blessing that comes, the bursting at the seams, the abundance of God, the overflow of His provision into our lives. And, you know, certainly as a church, we've seen that. You know, 13 years ago, we had one very small service, a handful of people. Most of them didn't want to be here anyway, but it was just too difficult to move and go somewhere else, so they stayed. And we've grown from there. Then we had one service that was bursting at the seams. Then we had a second service that was bursting at the seams. Today we have five services. And if I look at this service, we are pretty much bursting at the seams. And yet we are incredibly grateful to God for that. But at the same time, we're also not surprised. Because we've made a decision that we will take God's word seriously. That when He gives us the command to grow and enlarge, we're not going to settle for comfort. We're not just going to play it safe. We don't just want a nice church. We want an effective church that is making a difference in our community and is changing people's hearts and minds, pointing them to the Lord. Can you say amen to that? There's another great passage in Genesis 28, verse 14, where God speaks to Jacob about His promises and plans for His people. And I love this. The Lord says, they will be as numerous as the specks of dust on the earth. They will extend their territory in all directions. Isn't that a great thought, that? I believe that's what God wants for your life, that you would extend your territory in all directions. For those of you in business, that you would extend your business in all directions, that you would be able to extend your influence in all directions. And I believe certainly as a church that God's plan is for us to extend in all directions. You know, if you look at the location of our church here in Durban North, it's never been the greatest location. We know that. We've got bush on three sides. We've got a cul-de-sac on the fourth side, almost tucked away in the back end of Durban North. But that hasn't stopped us. We've taken God at His word. We've extended in all directions. We've trusted God for greater influence. We've trusted God to be used as a vehicle to build His church in our community. And I believe that whenever we begin to grow in life, we begin to see influence, we begin to expand. God needs you to grow in all directions. He needs you to grow in capacity. He needs us to grow in our love for people. He needs us to grow in our influence. Every area, I believe, God is saying, I need you to grow and enlarge, because you can be more useful to me and I can do more through you for the glory of God. Can you say amen? But here's the key thing with growth and expansion. It always starts with a decision. It always starts with a decision. Growth is never accidental. It is always intentional. You know, at the start of each year, I pray a prayer that it does scare me, I have to be honest. Because it's one of those that God always answers straight away and He begins to work. At the beginning of each year, I pray, Lord, would You grow me? Would You increase my capacity personally? Would You enlarge my life? And I prayed sometimes almost with tears in my eyes. Because everything in me wants an easier year than the last year. Everything in me wants to just have a break for a year. But how many of you know, God doesn't give us that luxury. When we're on the Lord's business, we have to keep growing. And then once I've decided that I will keep growing this year, then I begin to pray for the church to keep growing. Lord, would You keep growing our Durban North campus? Would You keep adding more staff to our great team that we already have? Would You keep adding more volunteers? Would You keep raising up more gifted givers? Would You keep raising up people who can be used to be added to the church and added to the kingdom? Keep bringing more people through our doors. Lord, can we see more people saved this year than ever before? I believe God gets excited when you and I get excited about growth and expansion. You know, 1 Chronicles 4:10, many of you would know this, but we read about a guy called Jabez. And the Bible says that Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. Everyone say, cried out. I read those words, cried out, and I read desperation. Jabez was hungry for more. He was desperate for more of God. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that You would bless me and enlarge my territory. Bless me and enlarge my territory. I think very often we stop the prayer at, oh, Lord, bless me. Bless me, Lord, and we go no further. Because the next part involves stretching, it involves inconvenience, it involves discomfort, it involves pain. And if we have to be honest, we don't do well with any of those things. None of us like stretching, none of us like pain, none of us like discomfort, none of us like inconvenience. But without that, there will never be any growth that takes place. You know, it's amazing that you can have two people in life who've maybe grown up in the same environment or even the same home with the same opportunities. Yet one's life moves forward and the other's doesn't. What's the difference? Well, I just simply think one has chosen to keep growing. The other has settled somewhere along the journey. You can have two businesses selling the same product in the same industry. One keeps moving forward, the other doesn't. Why is that? It's not because life is unfair. One has decided, I will be intentional about growth. The other one has settled where they're at. You know, even in church life, there are churches in the world and in our community that are growing. There are others that are shrinking. Why is that? I certainly don't believe it's that God favors one church over another. I don't think God looks down from heaven on Rivers Church. Yeah, I like Rivers Church. I like the name. It's a catchy name, Rivers Church. But that other church down the road, oh, I know. No, God loves all churches. God desires for all of them to grow. But I think He's restricted and limited when as leaders we decide not to grow, when we decide to settle, because it's always easier to settle. It's always more convenient to stay where you are. But what I've realized in life is that most often blessing comes as the byproduct of the commitment to growth. It's amazing when we ask God to grow us and our capacity increases, we have greater capacity to receive the blessing that God has given us. If God's ready to give blessing upon your life, but you haven't grown, well, you're not going to be able to use it wisely. God may well send it elsewhere. But I think Jabez understood that. That's why he prayed for God to bless him and to enlarge him. Because the more he enlarged his life, the more the blessing would find a place to take root in his life. Can you say amen? John Maxwell, the great leadership author, once said that change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Never forget, every single day you and I have the decision to grow or not to grow. Every single day. And it's important what we choose, because that choice will affect everything about your future. Whether we choose to grow or not, well, that will affect our marriage. It'll affect the type of home we build, the kids we raise. It'll affect your work. It'll certainly affect your finances. And it'll also affect your relationship with God. Make sure you choose wisely. God's desire for you is that you would choose to keep growing and expanding your life in every season that you go through. There's a great Irish proverb that once said, you've got to do your own growing, no matter how tall your grandfather was. Isn't that great, eh? You know, you can be in a great environment like this that is an environment of growth, but if you haven't chosen growth, well, nothing's going to change for your life. You can't rely on your husband or your wife or your uncle, your auntie, your boss to grow you. Each and every one of us has to make a decision for ourselves as to whether we will grow or whether we will choose the easier option to settle and be comfortable. Can you say amen? Here's another thought. Anything not growing is either dying or already dead. Anything not growing is either dying or already dead. How many of you remember Blockbuster? Blockbuster Video. DVD outlet. They were a well-known brand all across the world. And in the 1990s, Blockbuster Video expanded rapidly. They had massive growth. They probably reached their prime in about 2004, where they had 9,094 stores around the world. They employed 25,000 people. That's a pretty big deal. That's a big company. But at some point, they stopped being intentional about their growth. And they became so comfortable, and many later said they actually became quite proud and arrogant because of their success. And so what happened in the year 2000, there was a small and relatively unknown company called Netflix that approached Blockbuster in the year 2000 with an offer for Blockbuster to purchase Netflix for $50 million. Well, the owners of Blockbuster laughed at that. They thought that's the most stupid thing they ever heard, and they very quickly dismissed them. The reason is that they didn't see the need to keep growing and expanding in an industry that they completely dominated at the time. They became comfortable. Well, as they say, the rest is history. More and more people began to buy into the idea of digital and online movies. Blockbuster began to lose revenue and customers. In 2010, Blockbuster had to file for bankruptcy. And in 2014, the last of the 9,094 stores was officially shut down. Blockbuster Video no longer exists. You see, the lesson is they chose not to keep growing and died in the process. What a great thought that, eh? John Henry Newman was a famous British theologian in the 1800s, and he once said that growth is the only evidence of life. Growth is the only evidence of life. You know, for those of you who've got a garden at home, you would know if your plant or tree is not growing, it's either dead or it's busy dying. That's how it works. For those of you with kids, if you've got a five-year-old child that is still the height of a one-year-old toddler, you don't just dismiss it and think, it's probably nothing, you know. We've got short people in our family, and I'm sure it's going to be okay. No, if that child is not growing, you know there's something wrong there. Something is seriously wrong. Why? Because growth is always the evidence of life. Growth is the evidence of health. And the same is true in church life. As church continues to grow, as more and more people are added, we know God is doing something here. It is a sign of life. I couldn't imagine anything worse than being in the same church for 50 years with the same 50 people. Can you imagine that? That is the reality for many churches. Same people, week after week after week after week. I'm so grateful that every single week there are new faces in church. I don't have to look at the same faces every week. I'm teasing. We love your face. And we love it that you're here every week. But man, we're grateful that every week there's more people. Every week there's new people. Every week more people are getting saved. We're grateful for that. Because if that were not the case, we would have serious problems. You know, we're grateful when we have parking problems. We're grateful when we have to find more seats to seat people. Those are good things. Some people in church life take strain with that. Oh, because I'm uncomfortable now. No, thank God, it is evidence of life in the house. When there is more people, those are good problems to have. We'd have far worse problems when no one's coming anymore. Because either we are dead or we're in the process of dying. And that's why as a church, we will continue to grow until Jesus comes back. Because growth is the evidence of life. In Matthew 23:27, Jesus said, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity." Jesus, as he often did, had a go at the Pharisees because they'd stopped growing in their relationship with God. They were still relying on the law of Moses. They dismissed Jesus' teaching. They thought they were awesome. They thought they'd arrived. But Jesus said, "Look at you. You look the part on the outside. You've got all the nice robes and you've got all the right words. But actually, you are not growing spiritually. And as a result, you've literally become like a whitewashed tomb. You look the part on the outside, but you are dead on the inside. Anything that is not growing is either dying or already dead." A famous businessman by the name of Ray Kroc, and I'll come back to him in a moment, once said this. He asked the question, "Are you green and growing or ripe and rotting?" You see, the moment you think you've arrived is the moment you begin to decay and rot. But as long as we're still learning, as long as we're still growing, we are in the right place. William James, the former great American psychologist, once said, "The minute a man ceases to grow, no matter what his years, that minute he begins to be old." In other words, that moment he begins to die on the inside. I wonder if there's areas in your life today perhaps that you've stopped growing in. Maybe areas that you've settled in, where you've made a conscious or maybe unconscious decision just to settle and stay there because it's easier and it's more comfortable. Perhaps you've been relying on past success where you feel you've made it and now it's time to relax. Friend, none of us make it this side of eternity. The day we make it is when we stand before the Lord one day and He says, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant." Until then, we have to keep growing. We have to keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Let me give you another thought this morning, and this is my favorite of the four today. The need for growth and expansion, it releases potential. It always releases potential. In 1940, there was a restaurant, American fast food company, a restaurant chain that was started in San Bernardino in California. You might have heard of it, called McDonald's. It was started by the McDonald brothers, Richard and Maurice McDonald. They were the founders of McDonald's, but they are not the ones that are credited with the success of McDonald's. The real success is credited to the guy I mentioned earlier, the businessman Ray Kroc, the one who asked the question, "Are you green and growing or ripe and rotting?" And perhaps he at some point asked the question of the McDonald's brothers. Anyway, in 1955, Ray Kroc bought the McDonald's franchise from Richard and Maurice McDonald, and he began to develop a very definitive and strategic plan of growth for McDonald's. Up to that point, McDonald's had a few stores, but they were not well known. But he saw the potential within the company to become larger and bigger. McDonald's today, as you would probably know, and has been for many years, is the world's largest restaurant chain. They serve over 69 million customers a day. That is a lot of Big Macs and quarter pounder meals. 69 million customers a day. They have stores in over 100 countries around the world. They have 37,855 stores. McDonald's is also the world's second largest private employer. They employ 1.7 million people, second only to the Walmart group, surprisingly, that employs 2.3 million people. But see, McDonald's always had great potential. It was always there. It just needed someone to make a commitment to growth and expansion. And through the commitment of Ray Kroc, the potential within McDonald's was released. You know, that word potential is a great word. And I love that word. But potential simply means this. It's the sum of who we are yet to become. That's what potential is. It's the sum of who we are yet to become. You know, I wonder today as you sit here in the service, the 9 o'clock service, maybe thinking about rugby or thinking about lunch later, whatever it is. I wonder what potential lies on the inside of you. I wonder what ideas there are on the inside of you that are lying dormant there. I wonder perhaps what strategies God is wanting to birth there that could literally change our nation. Problems that could be solved through ideas that you come up with. You know, you might have seen last week in the news, there was a cell phone that has been invented in South Africa. I think it's the Mara company cell phone. That guy who invented that is part of our church in Sandton. Just there, sitting week after week in the service. Made a decision to keep growing and expanding. All of a sudden, the potential that was on the inside of him begins to be released. You see, the longer we settle and the longer we stay comfortable, the less likely that potential on the inside of us will ever be released. In fact, you and I will never know who and what we could become until we make a decision to grow and expand. You know, when I think about the future of Rivers Church, I get massively excited. You know, I see what God has done over the last 13 years, and I think, what's the next 13 years going to look like here? The campuses that will be birthed out of this, the leaders and pastors that will be raised up, the kids today who are sitting in Kids Zone, who because of this environment of growth and expansion will grow up believing that nothing is impossible for them. Kids who will be the future leaders of the nation here, possibly sitting in our services here. People who will be saved. People who at the moment are broken, messed up, far from God. But because we've decided to keep growing and keep making space, the potential within our church is released and many, many will come to know Jesus as Lord. A woman by the name of George Eliot in the 1800s once said that it is never too late to be who you might have been. It is never too late to be who you might have been. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you think your best days are beyond or behind you. Or maybe you think you missed the boat that had your opportunity on it. It's never too late to be who you might have been. But it has to begin with a decision to choose growth and expansion for your life. You have to begin to refuse to settle for where you currently are at. And then I think we also need to give God permission to keep growing us, to keep stretching us, like Jabez. Lord, bless me, but grow me at the same time. And I believe as we do that, the great potential on the inside of us will continually, season after season, be released for the glory of God. Let me read you from Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. Many of you would be familiar with it. But it says in verse 1, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Everyone say seed. Seed really being symbolic of potential. Because if you look at a seed is not all that it will become, but within it lies the potential for it to become what God intended. But as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. We see in this first one here that there was no growth, therefore there was no release of the potential within the seed. Then verse 5 says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Then it says, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Here we see that minimal growth took place. Why? Because the potential was limited, And again, it pretty much amounts to nothing. But then verse 8 says, still other seed fell on good soil. Everyone say good soil. On good soil, where it produced the crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus here speaking about the seed or the potential that found good soil that then produced huge growth. You know, I think as the worship team comes forward, I think that the potential really, or the good soil, if you like, the good soil is sometimes nothing more than a decision to keep growing and expanding. Whenever the potential comes into contact with that, there is always growth. Because the truth is, you can be part of a growth environment, but if you haven't made the decision to grow, nothing's going to change in your life. Alternatively, you can be in a place, perhaps at work or wherever you find yourself in the week, that is not a growth environment. But because you personally have made the decision to grow, you will still keep advancing. You will still keep moving forward. And so we see here that the good seed finds good soil and huge growth is produced. And I think similarly, when our potential with the decision to keep growing is released, we all of a sudden see compounded and exponential growth and expansion in our life. A man by the name of Charles Schwab was once a great American steel magnate, and he put it like this. He said, everyone's got it in him if he'll only make up his mind and stick at it. None of us is born with a stop valve on his powers or with a set limit to his capabilities. There's no limit possible to the expansion of each one of us. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God has more for your life? Do you believe that God wants to grow you, that He wants to extend your territory in all directions? I believe that is God's plan for your life, and I certainly believe that it is God's plan for our church as well. Let me finish with this great quote that I came across, a woman by the name of Tabitha Coffey. She's an Australian TV personality. She said, I define success by personal growth. If you don't continue to grow, you can't continue to succeed. Can you say amen to that?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.